Hi there. Happy Sunday and welcome to Enter the Light. I'm Lynn Bleasdale and I'm here with my lovely co-hosts Linda Irwin, Tony Jorgensen, and we possibly might have Jessica Marie Tatro later. Our special guest, I hope I pulled him up just in the nick of time. Bob, is that you? Have we got Bob with us? Bob, you're live. I hope it's a Skype call. We're looking for our special guest, Bob Eden. Hang on. Then it might be this one here. Sorry, I'm playing switchboard roulette here. Bob.
Hey, got me.
There we go. You're showing up as an actual number and not a Skype call, so I got confused. But welcome, Bob Eden, our special guest. We got him. So I guess it's Monday for you, right? You're in Australia?
Yeah, it's 5 a.m. Monday morning.
Wow.
Just time of the fall storm. Anybody want a cup of coffee?
Sure.
Absolutely.
I've got a pot going right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, coffee is the, aside from the tequila and donuts in our green room, we love coffee for the shows.
It's a bit too early for my rum and coke, but
well, our tequila and donuts are actually they're invisible. They're in our imaginary green room because it's a cyberspace, right? But we can still play. Bob, we've been looking at you've got a lot of different platforms, I noticed, and I wondered if I could just turn the mic over to you, and if you could talk about yourself and the amazing, valuable work that you do. Really important.
Yeah, okay. Just a bit of housekeeping. There tends to be a bit of a delay, and I'll pick up the talking stick and share what's present for me and put the talking stick down. And if you could please not interrupt what I'm sharing, otherwise we end up talking over each other, and just to let you know, this is my 59th year as a paid stage performer, so that's, you know, I'm back on stage again, and I never wrote a song list when I went up. I just winged it all the time, so I'm winging it now. So I'll pick up the talking stick and let you know what my life's like now and what my purpose and mission are. So I'll pick up the talking stick. Right, here we go. I go by the name of Bob Eden. I have a name or not a name. That'll be relevant to some people listening. Yeah, my life is really simple now. I'm 71 years old and I've never felt more a stronger zest for life than I do at the moment, and that's because I've set my purpose and found my mission. Now my life is really, really simple. I am master and commander of this life that I do create, and I take full responsibility for it. And so I drive my life under two simple principles, and the first principle is the KISS principle: keep it simple, sovereign. I changed it from stupid to sovereign because I found that the words I choose to use actually create my reality, and I am sovereign. So keep it simple, sovereign is the first principle. The second principle is something I coined about 15 years ago, and I call it the Sue principle, S-U-E. We are all sovereign, unique, and equal, and everything else just flows from that. And then both of these principles reside under the umbrella of integrity. Because for me, without personal integrity, none of the magic that I experience in my life would happen. For if I can lie to myself, I can lie to anybody. So that's what my how simple my life is. And how can I put it? For me, there's only one law: do no harm. And I've only got one right, and that's the right of self-determination. bit of history. I had a very violent childhood, which I thought was normal, and that led to, so I was born in 52, that led to me having a panic attack in November 1984, and that began a 20-year plus cycle of antidepressants, psychologists, psychiatrists, blah, 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 blah. But it was the pain of depression that actually gave me the energy to find my way through it in a holistic, natural, drug-free way. And because of my life experience, I'm now on a mission to eradicate suicide, because if I can do it, anybody can. Now, pivotal steps were healing the wounds of my childhood. In the early 90s, I came across John Bradshaw's work on the inner child, and I reckon that guy saved my life. But also the realization that all the wounds of my childhood, every moment of terror became trapped in my body as body memories. So I was carrying this spiritual lead bricks, if you like, around with me until such time as my soul got too heavy, and that was when my body gave me a slap with the panic attack and the following depression. And so how I healed myself was by releasing all those trapped feelings. And in 2005, it's another pivotal moment, I became a ship's captain. And the first trip was, the buck stops with you. You are responsible for the lives of all these people on the vessel, the safety of the vessel, and even the energy, the vibe on the boat, and it's all down to you. So that was a big wake-up call. But all I did was I took that ideology and applied it to my whole life. From that moment on, I became master and commander of my life. And so I sat there and asked myself this question, okay, if I'm master and commander, what's my life purpose? So I set my life purpose to be just to simply find my own truth. And how do I know what is my truth? Whatever resonates with my heart. So I began a process of questioning everything that I thought I knew that I held as beliefs. And I was so angry when I realized that just about everything I'd absorbed during all those years was an absolute lie. The stuff my parents told me, that the mainstream media, the education or indoctrination system, it was all a pack of lies. So I've been establishing my truth by questioning everything. And the second thing I thought is, as a spiritual being having a physical experience, how do I want to experience this life? So, and this is all just intuitive, At that time, I set my conscious life intention, which is, I am here to have a gentle, joyful, loving, healthy, and abundant life. Now, that I am here to have is my direct command to the universe, but it's also my address for the universe, so the universe knows where to deliver what I've told it to do. And so since I put that conscious life intention in place in 2005, that's precisely how my life is unfolding. So basically, I'm just kicking back and letting the universe do all the hard work. But there was another really, really important step, and that was my rite of passage. And this is about 2008. I was living on my boat in Pioneer Bay. It was about 7:30 at night, so it's dark up here in the tropics, and the bay is surrounded by mangrove trees where crocodiles live. And I was down below on my laptop on my dog's Facebook page, typing away merrily, chatting with people, and all of a sudden the lights went dim. And I looked over at the voltmeter. No, 13 volts, so it's not there. And I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. And just off to the left of my vision was this black, silky wispiness. And no matter how far I turned my head, I couldn't bring it, you know, to come. It always just stayed at the left-hand side of my vision. And I thought, oh, no, it's all over, Red Rover. The Grim Reaper has come to get me. And I still couldn't breathe. So I typed into Facebook, hey, guys, if I don't post anything in the next 20 minutes, can you get Volunteer Marine Rescue to come out and get my little dog Barnaby? Because my fear was that if I died, then after he'd eaten me, he would starve. So that was why I posted that message. And so I'm sitting there, and I don't know about you guys, if you've had a near-death experience, but I've had several. And time was irrelevant. It could have been, you know, a second or 30 minutes. But I'm still sitting there, and I couldn't breathe. And instead of panicking, I could have typed in, hey, guys, send the ambulance people out. I think I'm having a stroke. But I just let my body do what it wanted to do. So I'm sitting there naked in the tropics. My body stood up, walked up the companionway, got up on deck. I looked up at the sky and I could see two full moons. And then looking around, it's after dark. Sharks feed after dark. Crocodiles feed after dark. Bugger the sharks. My body just threw me into the bay and I rolled over onto my back and spread out like a great big starfish. And then all of a sudden there was a big and I was breathing again. And that was the night I consciously chose to bet my life on trusting my intuition, my inner intuition. And those are the sort of key elements in my recovery. So, yeah, I just wish I could share how I feel with everybody listening. And I suppose I am, in a way, by having this discussion. And now, since I set my mission to be to eradicate suicide, I'm doing that through many avenues. I've written several books. They're on Amazon. I've got a YouTube channel with videos on that are free. And I'm trying to do as many of these interviews, both audio and video, as I can to get the message out there. So I think that's pretty much a pretty good overview of my journey. So I'll put down the talking stick and let's have at it. Let's have a, you know, bring it on.
Oh. Wow.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Bob.
That was good.
Yeah, it is. Tony, Linda, what say you about all this lovely... It felt so magical, Bob, describing his journey, and then you found your mission, and the work you're doing is so valuable. I think we do have more angst world where are lost, and sometimes they want to end it, and sometimes make that unnecessary. Linda, what are your thoughts?
Well, I myself am a fighter, and if I felt something like that happening, I'd fight to stay here. And I'd probably do what he did. I'd let my body tell me what to do in order to bring the breath back. But yes, I came very close to feeling suicidal probably 10 years ago, and it happened on Facebook and during the Unseen World time. I was getting a lot of flack and a lot of hate from people on Facebook because of what I know about Star Family, for example. And it got to me. It's like nobody wants anything to do with me. They just want to insult me. They want to drag me down. They want to kick me out. And I stood at the counter one night, saw a pair of scissors on there, and thought to myself, well, I could put an end to this right now. But I didn't. I hung in there. I said, I know this will get better. I just need to detach from those things which are dragging me down, which are holding me like an anchor. And I did. I left Facebook for a little while. I unfriended some people I thought were friends but weren't really. And I felt better, and I started to come back a little bit. And I think that those exit points, like what Bob was describing there on the boat and wondering if he was going to survive, are chances for us to reevaluate and to move forward. So, yeah, I could totally relate, Bob.
Thank you, darling. Yeah, and would you like me to share how I broke the multi-generational cycle of abuse?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, and again, I take my hat off to John Bradshaw and his work on healing the shame that binds you and the inner child. And how can I put it? It was, I emigrated to Australia in 89, so it was about 91 when I came across John Bradshaw's work. My wife and kids went back to the UK pretty much just after we landed. But John Bradshaw's work, yeah. So I kept going back and revisiting my childhood. I knew I couldn't change my past, but I had a feeling that I could heal it. And I got to this point in my journey, like, God, I hate you, Mum, you're always beating me. Why do you beat me? You know, you're supposed to love me. But you've only got one mum, you know, and you're supposed to love your mum. And it was that dichotomy that was tearing my soul apart. Mm-hmm. So one day I sat down and wrote the letter to Mum. I got the notepad out. It's a thick notepad. So I started off, Dear Mum, your loving son Bobby, just writing to tell you how I felt as a child growing up in our family. This is not about blame. I'm just telling you my story. Please tell me your story. So I started off, Mum, I hated it when you dangled me by the wrist and beat me with a carpet sweeper. I hated it when you bashed me with a frying pan. I hated it when you shamed me in front of my friends. You know, and I just got it all out. And what I thought was going to be a couple of pages ended up being about as thick as War and Peace. But, you know, it was like a dumping. I got it all out on paper. And then the last line was, so, Mum, this is my story. Please tell me yours. And that, probably the hardest thing I ever did was posting that letter. I was trembling on my way to the post office. And I posted that letter to Mum back in England. Eventually, she wrote back saying, oh, Bobby, you must think I'm the first mother in the whole world, but I was only doing my very best. So I wrote back, Mum, it wasn't about blame. It was just about telling you my story. Please tell me yours. So eventually she wrote back. And she was born in Germany in 1924. Between the wars, Dad was an alcoholic. Her mum was a control freak. Her cousins were in the SS or they were shot. So I realised that, yeah, Mum had a very violent and dysfunctional childhood too. And so that was the release. So from hating Mum, through hearing her story and understanding what went on for her, I could move back to a place of love. Because, yes, Mum was doing her very, very best. But all she could do was dump on me what got dumped on her. So by writing that letter, I actually broke the multi-generational cycle of abuse. And then about 5 years later, I contacted Mum through a spiritual medium, and this lady told me stuff that only Mum and I knew, you know. So I knew she was fair dinkum. And Mum was saying, Bobby, thank you so much for writing that letter, because I am now doing the same work with my parents in the beyond. And that blew me away. Anyway, after I got Mum's letter, I phoned her in the UK and she was back in hospital with a brand new incidence of bowel cancer 20 years apart. And there's a lesson there. But that was the first time we spoke as mother and son. You know, it was hard to speak because we were both crying so much, you know. But then 3 days later, she died, and that was such a beautiful closure. And I felt as if somebody had taken an elephant off my shoulders. But, hey, what's this niggle? I've still got this little niggle up here. Right. Dad, you bastard. So I got the notepad out and wrote a similar letter to Dad, who was already dead. But I, you know, I wrote the same thing, you know. Why didn't you ever spend any time with me? Why didn't you come to school sports days? You know, that sort of thing. And I realized that Dad was just doing his very best too. He was doing what dads did then, like bring home the bacon. But he was an overachiever. I never saw him, you know, he was always working. But anyway, I wrote the letter, put it in an envelope to Dad in heaven and burnt it. And so that was the way I sort of healed the wounds of my childhood. And it wasn't until I was able to forgive my abusers that the healing was complete. Yeah, so that's how I did it. And I'm convinced now that the damage is done in the first 7 years of our lives. Because, how can I put it? An analogy I use is when I was born, I was this magical little being whose basic operating systems were in place. You know, I could breathe and all my senses were working and the world was a magical place. But my mind, my hard drive, if you like, my computer was blank. But as I went through life, more and more programs got loaded onto that hard drive. And from my programmings created my beliefs, what I believed about the world. And I believe that within the center of my heart, and probably your hearts too, there is this sacred inner knowing of what we are here to be. And that's, we are here to be beings of unconditional love. And so as more and more programs got loaded, the way I was living, which was based on fight or flight, which I learned in the childhood, but it was, my essence was moving further and further away from what I knew within to be how I should be living, until that distance got so far, and that's when my body intervened with the big slap that was that panic attack. And so, yeah, now I just listen to my body and obey it. It's always sending me messages, and unfortunately, in our society, we're conditioned to, oh, I got a headache, I'll take a Panadol, you know. Oh, I've got a pain, I'll put a pad on it. No, you know, that's what the Western medical system does. It treats the symptoms and doesn't look at the cause. So if I've got a headache, just usually means I'm dehydrated, you know. And I firmly believe that nature is nurture. Science is the sickness and nature is the cure. And life is supposed to be simple, you know. My life is so simple, and if it ever gets complicated, I know I've let my mind back into the driving seat. So I tend to work in little movies on the inside of my skull. So I just imagine reaching in and grabbing my mind by the scruff of the neck, throwing it in the trunk, throw it in the trunk and put my heart back in the driving seat. And then my life becomes simple again. So, you know, It's like Occam's razor, you know. At the end of the day, the simplest solution is probably the right one.
Very true.
But,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow. You're an amazing character, Bob, and I'm so glad we brought you on the show. I just love, I'm going to follow, we've got all your links in the show description, you click on Bob's name, you can find all the links he's got. He's on YouTube and you've got a website. You're all over the place and it's fabulous. I just want to go to Tony briefly, and then we're going to get to our callers. We've got quite a lineup. So, Tony, we had a lot of people waiting, and that's really cool, Bob.
Okay.
Excellent. Tony, so what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, my thought, so this is a very interesting, it's very interesting to me because so my childhood, I don't remember any of it. So I've up until I was probably 13 or 14 years old. So I have suppressed everything. The one thing that I do remember is that my father was abusive, not physically abusive, but mentally abusive, which, you know, my sister and brother tell me that. Committing suicide or anything like that was completely out of the question for me because I just had too much of a life to live, and whatever his problem was his problem. Not that it did not change my life or affect my life. It absolutely did. But because I suppressed everything, and so I don't really know. You know, I did do drugs, and I'm sure that's why, because I escaped from that. And then I went through the 12-step program, which is kind of like what Bob was saying. You write letters, and you ask, you know, why you did this or so on. I mean, I still speak to them about this, but the one thing I have to say is my mom, and she taught us to be very strong people. She was abused as a child, and instead of by her mother, and instead of passing it on, she fought like hell to change the course of our lives. And I believe that's what I, you know, my sisters and brothers, they have done the same. We were taught by our mom exactly what Bob is talking about, to change that course and not pass it on, you know, to our siblings. And it's just like you change it. Like, yeah, that's what I have to say. But that was fascinating. Yeah, it was amazing. Story. Yeah.
It's becoming mainstream now. Sorry, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like a relay race, you know. And if passing the baton, you know. And if you don't hand it back, pass it on. And looking at how Western society operates, and there's a big focus on child sexual abuse, but for me, abuse is abuse is abuse. And I cannot imagine any child in any family in so-called our civilized society that has had all their emotional, spiritual, developmental needs met. And the most common form of abuse that I can focus my attention on is abandonment. Now, in our society now, as opposed to feudal times, mum and dad both had to go to work to pay for all the labor-saving devices. And so the child's abandoned. The parents aren't there. They're being raised by the state. And you go back to feudal times, and, you know, okay, things are a bit different. But a child was born, mum and dad, usually about 8 or 9 brothers and sisters, because big families meant it was they could work more land. But the baby went with them when they were out in the fields, you know, planting the seeds and reaping the harvest. And so there wasn't that abandonment. And also there were aunts and cousins and the village and the community. So the child had a huge, huge family for all that support. And also in those, especially in the tribal cultures, there came a time when the young child came to that sort of watershed moment where it had to go through a rite of passage to achieve, it was achieving physical maturity, but it needed to achieve emotional and spiritual maturity by going through a rite of passage. And there were people in the tribe that could take, you know, these younglings through that rite of passage. And all of those rituals that I can put my finger on involved them facing probable death, you know, like leaping off a tall tree with a vine around your ankle, or diving off the top of a big, very high cliff into the ocean. So that was part of the ritual. And now in our so-called civilized society, that rite of passage doesn't exist anymore, which is why I've come to the conclusion that I'm surrounded by a lot of 50-year-olds, 5-year-olds. Anyway, I'll shut up and let the callers call.
Yeah.
That's fabulous, great. Bob. No, really. I think you've probably got a few more books in you, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But we'll make sure we let people know where they can find all those. And but I want to go back to our first caller, and it's Kimberly. I didn't know if we were doing a talk show or if we were doing a talk show. And I said, no, we're reading. I imagine, Bob, you work with your own spirit team, yes?
How can I put it? I know what I know, and I know what I don't know, but I don't know what I don't know. And which makes life interesting. For me, I live in a feeling universe, not a thinking universe. And my heart is my only compass, and my inner intuition is my only guide. Within the silence of my heart, I have found a place I call my knowing, and my knowing has no words, but it is in that space of knowing where my contentment resides. But it's also my connection to Source or God, but also a connection to a place I call the universal library of all that there is to know. And some people call that the Akashic Records. And so I have a burgeoning, strengthening connection to that, the Akashic Records. And and that's where I get all my own solutions. That's a Bob word, S-O-U-L, solutions. So I have found all my own solutions within me. There's no out there. So,
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's perfect, Bob. That's well described. Well, I'll tell you what, just let me know when you feel ready to respond to Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show. And how can we help you? Did you have anything you wanted to ask Bob, or did you want to ask the team? Whatever you got going.
Yes, hello. I don't have any questions for Bob. I love the story. My question is for the team. You all know that I'm in the process of this EEOC investigation. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know how it's going to go. Because right now the entity is investigating actually what happened to me last year.
Okay. Does anybody want to go ahead?
All I can say is that I feel it's going to take time, Kimberly. It's going to take time, and it's going to take a lot of patience. Patience is a word that's been coming up for me a lot lately in the work that I do online. A lot of people wanting to know when they're going to get their orders, when the updates are going to be completed for the beta testing. And we just keep telling them patience. And I'm seeing that word flashing through right now. Patience, mm-hmm. Do not have high expectations for anything. Just provide what you need to provide when they ask you to do it, and let things go the way that it's going to proceed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I can go ahead. This is Lynn.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay, and then I'll turn to you, Tony. So I immediately started scribbling, like half drawing, half writing the number 8. And I looked it up, and it talks about gain, wisdom, strength, and obtaining your spiritual goals. And I know that the goal you're trying to achieve is actually more on the physical plane right now, but it feels like that you are going through an experience that your soul needed as well. But I think what Linda said really resonated. These things take forever, and that what they're showing me is that sort of state where you're trying not to worry, but you're worrying. Like it's like it's hard to calm that monkey mind down when something is in process. So patience for sure, trust. What I get when I go through those times, my guides send they say, just trust, all is well. That simple phrase comes in, and try to stop, get yourself back into the moment, because this too shall pass, and I feel like it's going to be a good outcome, but you don't drive yourself crazy anticipating or getting attached to the outcome. It's going to be okay. I really feel that. I'm going to go to Tony, and then we'll see what Bob's got to say. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. So I also got the same. I hate when that happens, but I got weight. So I'm sure that's the patient part of it. But I also got a card that was be curious. Do you have a love interest right now or talking to somebody?
Say
that
again.
You like? Do you have a love interest or somebody that you're talking to that may be a love interest at this point right now?
Not at the moment, no.
No. Well, I think it's coming up for you.
Okay.
So that's going to distract you a little bit from this because they do take a long time, but it also said be curious about what's going on, so don't lose touch about what it is.
Okay.
You know, keep inquiring like you do. I know you have an inquiring mind, so I know you're not going to let it go, but it is going to take a little longer. But to distract you a little bit, this is a good time to reach out to maybe for a happy, fun distraction.
Okay.
It could go your way is what I got.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank
All right.
You. You're welcome.
Lynn? Hey. So, I think we turned to Bob now. Yeah.
Yeah. What I picked up from that was talked about the number 8, and then somebody else said wait, which is W-8, wait. So I found that interesting. And when I look at the picture of the figure of 8, if I turn it 90 degrees, it's the infinity symbol. And so the question that I pose is that if you are not creating your life, who is? And one of the most beneficial things I ever did was I taught myself how to silence my mind so that I could really clearly hear my heart. And now for me, my mind is just a tool that I use when I choose, for I'm so much more than my mind. And if there's time, I can tell you how I learned that skill of silencing the mind. You know, if you're up for it.
Okay.
Okay. And keep on trucking, Kimberly, you know.
All right. Thank you.
One step at a time. But this is how I learned to silence my mind. I tend to work in videos. I just quit my proper grown-up job in automotive research in Australia and set up around Australia in a combi. as a folk singer. And luckily I had Shakti Gawain's book with me about creative visualization. So as far as the mind goes, I built this little movie in, you know, in my inner eye, or wherever you want to call it. And I'm running down an underground tunnel. There's fluorescent lights in the roof there. Running down the tunnel. Dun, 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 dun. A bit like a James Bond movie. And at the end of the tunnel, there were this huge, big glass sliding doors. And through the glass, I could see into the computer room of my mind. So as I approached the doors, they slid open, and I could hear the dark satanic hum of all the hard drives of my mind spinning away there. And then I looked over to the right on the wall, there was a big red switch. So I walked over to that big red switch, and somebody had posted a health warning, beware, thinking can seriously damage your well-being. And I thought, well, good on you, mate. Thanks for letting me know. And so all I did in my mind's eye was I grabbed hold of that big switch and went ker-clunk. And the hard drive started spinning down, spinning down, spinning down, spinning down. Now, I played that movie over and over and over and over again until I came up with that phrase that my mind is just a tool that I use when I choose. And so now I live in heart space, and I'm also known as the spiritual mechanic. Now, that tool of my mind, it's a tool, one of the tools I have in my toolbox, but it needs caring, it needs looking after. So I treat my mind like I treat my little puppy dog when it gets feisty. So I say to my mind, okay, mind, off you go. Do some research into sonoluminescence or whatever and come back and report to me. So off my mind trots, wagging its little tail because it's had some attention from the master, that's me, and it comes back and reports to me. And so I pat it on the head and say, thank you very much, mind. You've done a great job. Here's a treat. Now back in your basket. I'll take you for another run tomorrow. And that's how I silence my mind. It's just another tool that I use when I choose to use it. You know? Because for me, simply being requires no thinking or doing. Hey, anyway, end of story. Next caller.
Excellent, Bob. Well, actually, we have Jessica with us now. Hi, Jessica.
Yay. Hello. Hi. Sorry, guys. I'm here. I was on mute. I've just been able to join, so I'm just coming in.
Okay. So I guess you didn't hear Kimberly's question, right?
Oh, I didn't.
Okay, that's okay. We'll catch you on the next one. So, okay. Anyway, Kimberly, I hope that helps, you know.
It did. Thank you.
Yeah, and we just send you so much love. It's going to be okay. Stay in the present moment. And, you know, you got to believe, I think, is your message.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, love.
All right,
okay,
thank
love.
You.
Talk to you again. Okay, now. I'm going to go to a Skype caller that has been waiting and waiting. Hi, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hi, my name is Jane, and I'm calling from Vancouver.
Oh, hi, Jane. Lovely. How can we help you today? Did you want to talk to Bob about anything, or do you have a question? How would you like to go?
Yeah, I just have a question for the girls. I need to know if there's any changes going on with my job in the near future, career, that sort of thing, if they pick up anything.
Okay. I'll go ahead and just start this off because I've been drawing today a lot. So I'm drawing a vehicle stuck in the mud. Are you feeling like you're spinning your wheels here? Is the message I'm picking up?
No, not really. No.
Okay. Well, that's the image I drew. It's a car stuck in the mud. And it feels like all you need to do is put something under that wheel to make it go. So I'm totally throwing a metaphor at you, but think about that message and you'll probably figure out what it means for you. Who can go next?
I can.
This is
Linda. Okay. Okay, in relation to that stuck vehicle, there's a way to get it unstuck. You need to take a look at things that no longer serve you and get rid of those. Now, this, again, pertains to me recently. I went through a bunch of Discord servers that are not active or that are negative to me, and I left all of those. I had to use my discernment, which do I want to keep, which do I want to get rid of. So as far as a job goes, deciding, do you want to keep what's there at that job? Can you find something else that would be more in alignment with you? Those are things to think about. Think about the things you don't like about the job that you need to change, and then set your intention towards changing it to what you want. Does that help?
I'll just have to wait and see. I don't know at the moment.
Okay.
Tony, how about you? Or Jessica, was that you that was ready to go?
Yes. If it's okay.
Yeah, lovely.
Sure. Hi, Jane. This is Jessica. I felt when you asked that question that there is going to be positive movement forward when it comes to a job. Like what you're in won't last forever. You know, it's something's going to change within your job, but it's going to be in a positive direction. That's just what I'm feeling. But of course, we all have free will. That's what I got straight up right away.
In a positive direction. Any idea what that would be?
As far as job-wise, I'm not sure. It's probably something that's going to be more in line with where you're at. But I see forward movement. So that's what I'm picking up.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah. Hi. So let me just shoot a picture of this because my glasses are horrible and I can't read. But I got a card that said, shake it up. So it talks about the Titans and that they were defeated. So it's like back in the day. Look at this. Sorry. My eyes are like bad. So I'm trying to figure this out so I can see it. Hold on one second. Okay. So the last part that I got was learning. So it says, find joy in chaos. Shake up your life by paying attention to what moves you. Travel to an unknown destiny. Pursue a new dream or realign your love life or redefine your love life. So Uranus is the symbol of fruitful chaos. So I don't know if there's any chaos going on or you're just having thoughts of chaos, but it says that you're fine. And if you want to, basically whatever's out there that you want to do, you probably can. I feel that your job is fine where you're at, but maybe you need to look beyond that and do some traveling or renew a love life, or I don't know if you are married or seeing somebody, but maybe shake that up a bit. Does that resonate at all? I don't.
Could be interesting. I'm not quite sure what the love life thing is.
Yeah, it says that it's the time. I'm getting a lot of love life things today. So it says it's either rejuvenated or looking for love is the right time. Definitely maybe take a break from your job and have a vacation. Do something that you want to do is what I'm feeling for you.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey.
Bob?
Kim? Yeah. What comes up for me is another one of mine. Personal insights and mantras. Whatever is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast, and I no longer feed the beast. And in my life, through my sense of noticing, I just notice the activities that I'm carrying out that put me in the zone. So like ride on lawnmower puts me in the zone. Tinkering with old engines puts me in the zone. Being barefoot in nature puts me in the zone. And so I fill my day with activities that put me in the zone. You know, my body wakes me up, usually about 3 a.m. Something will grab my attention and I go and give that thing some of my attention. And then something else will grab my attention. So I live my life like a butterfly, flitting from things that put me in the zone. You know, so I'm almost perpetually in a state of meditation, if you like. And the only time I come out of that is when I have to do the headspace things, like renew the car rego or go and do some shopping or stuff like that. So, well, you know, whatever is not nurturing for me, I simply call the beast, and I no longer feed the beast. And the most powerful statement that I can throw at anybody is, if you are not creating your life, who is? And it's that realization that I am creating my life. So what do I want my life experience to be like? And so I've learned that what I radiate, I create. So I consciously choose to radiate joy. And because I am radiating joy, the universe throws it back at me. And that's why for many, many, almost decades now, I totally trust in my own process. So it's all, for me, it's all about the inner journey. Get the inner journey right, and the outward stuff just has to follow.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I hope that helped, Jane.
Yeah.
So nice to hear from you. Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck with your job. I think I get a feeling it's going to work out okay. Just, you know, somebody mentioned chaos. Often we have to wade through a bit before we get to where we're going. But, you know, it could be a dance as well. Take care, Jane. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to 856. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Oh, is that Rosemary?
It's Rosemary. Yep.
Hi. How can we help you today, love?
I'm sorry.
Did you have a question?
Just wondering why is it taking so long to get a relationship in my surrounding or energy, if that makes sense.
No, good question. And specifically, like, why is it taking so long? I'm sure you're not the only person to ask that question. Does anybody want to just jump in?
Yeah, I'll jump in.
Go ahead. Yeah, go right ahead.
For me, the primary relationship in my life was with me. And because of the message I got from the child, like, mum's always beat me, therefore she does not love me, therefore I'm unlovable and it's all my fault. I just felt unworthy. And most of my recovery journey has been focused on learning to love me, warts and all. And as far as the hero's journey goes, I think the destination for everybody is to reach that state, that inner state of unconditional love for everyone. But I'm happy still focusing on learning how to love myself, warts and all. And I still don't love myself enough because I still have a couple of addictions that I'm working on. And all addictions for me stem from childhood trauma. And all addictions, from my experience, are little ways of poisoning myself, or, you know, because there's still that little kernel of disbelief in me that I'm unworthy and I don't deserve to have a joyous and loving and wonderful life. But so how I would approach that is, if I start radiating love and shining my light, then that light that I'm radiating will attract people, and the right people too, because they're feeling it on an energetic level. Right, that was a bit deep, wasn't it?
Excellent. Okay.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. So I have something for Rose Maria also, now that I've got my page that I can read. I got Awaken, which I think is good for you. It says, embrace your shadow. So basically, it's don't be too hard on yourself. Life throws us many challenges, and it doesn't help to suffer through the struggle. Move with ease and grace, and your body and mind will thank you. And I think that has a lot to do with serenity for you. I think you're looking for serenity. And when you have that, which I know you're working really hard on that because you sound so different every time you're calling in the last 3 weeks, all that other stuff and shit is going to go away. And then you're going to awaken. And that's when you're like what Bob said, when you're open your heart to love, or you love yourself, or you feel love, it's just going to come knocking at your door. So you're so close. You've done a lot of work. You just need to work a little longer, and it's going to happen. There's just, like he said, there's some addictions or there's some trash that needs to be cleaned up, and you're doing a good job at it. You just have to be patient. But you're on the right road. Okay, Rose Maria?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Jeff?
Yes, Linda.
Yes,
Linda.
What I'm getting is actually very similar to what Bob said, and that is simply that you have to be strong in yourself. Know who you are. Be happy with you. Accept you, flaws and everything, and just be out there in the world doing what it is you feel good about doing. You are an explorer traveling in this path of life, and when it's time for another explorer who has the same destination as you to find you, then it will work out. But be very careful who you use your discernment as to who you wish to link up with, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Who hasn't gone yet? Jess?
Oh, I can go. Mm-hmm. Yes. Hi, Rose Maria. This is Jessica. It's so
Hi.
Awesome that you're here. This card totally did like a backward flip right out of my deck and landed on the floor. So this is a card, it says, be of service. It has a lot to do with what Linda was just saying. This card says, when you strive to empower and enrich the lives of others, you elevate the consciousness of this dimension. No good deed is too small. Acts of kindness and service are regarded in the spiritual realms as the loftiest of goals. To ease the suffering of another in any way, from charitable contributions to volunteer work, or something as simple as making someone's day brighter with a smile of a kind gesture, is the greatest gift you can give to yourself. Raising the energy of the planet by doing selfless deeds is a win-win for all concerned. By raising the vibration of others, you raise the vibration of yourself. Remember, above all else, you are here to leave this earth dimension better than how you found it. Seek ways to make your mark. It's not possible to fix all the anguish in the world, but it's imperative that you don't create more. Be mindful of the thoughts, words, and deeds. Be of the change that you wish to see in the world. Oh, I love that card for you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got.
Yeah, that's a great card.
Beautiful.
One place I get some really good pointers is from looking at nature. And so if I'm struggling, I'll just pretend or imagine that I'm a dolphin. And, you know, dolphins are always giggling and leaping about, and for me that's the basic essence of being a human being. You know, our life is, we're supposed to live as free spirit. We're supposed to be joyful and joyous and curious and all those magical things. We're not supposed to be conformists because we're all unique.
Right. Very, very true. Oh, wow. I'm going to wrap this up. Sorry, Bob. What was that?
That's it. Let's all be dolphins.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's how mermaids got evolved. They were dolphins first. So I just want to finish this up by saying, Rosemaria, that three messages came through. And just to remind you that attachment to outcome can be something that causes suffering. And if you can detach from that sort of needing to have the outcome. And I just also wanted to remind you that divine timing is usually involved with everything, and it's not happening yet because it isn't meant to happen yet. And that, I know that sounds so very trite, but it's absolutely a truth. And we often understand these things in hindsight, but just have the faith that it's going to happen in the right time for you. And maybe look up a little bit about soul contracts while you're waiting, and just learn a little bit about that. And maybe you'll understand that you may have made a choice to experience what you're experiencing, because that's what your soul needs. Just a theory. I mean, all the stuff we say on the show is opinion, you know, and your truth is an inside job, right? We can't tell you what to believe or know, but yeah, you know, find out from within. And as Bob says, you know, you just follow that intuition. I hope that helps, Rosemaria. I'd love to say, you know, it's going to happen on Thursday, but, you know, we just can't go there. I wish we could. But anyway, call back. We'll talk to you again, I know. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. Okay, we have 651. Hi, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hi, this is Christiana from Minnesota.
Hi. I should recognize your area code by now, but how you doing, hon?
No, it's all right. I'm good. I have a question about work, and I might get, and this is a might, get a job at The Haven in St. Peter. It's a holistic business. And I was wondering what energy you see surrounding that. Is it positive, negative, you know?
Hmm. Anyone want to go ahead? Anything popping
in? It feels
in?
Good to me. Feels very good to me. This is Linda. Continue to focus your intention. Learn as much as you can about the place so that you know when it's time to step into it, how it will all be for you, how it will feel. But it's not the only option. Please always keep your eyes open for other options. Sometimes these things are a stepping stone to something else. But it does feel good to me.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Hi, Christiana. Awesome. This is Tony. I got a strong yes, like with Linda. There was a question mark there. I don't know if it's about pay or exactly what you're going to be doing. So just make sure that you find out all the specifics that go with the job. But I think it's a yes. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but I feel very positive like she does about it. It's just like you know, where you would fit right in, or you know, you'll be one of their best. But just check on, okay, before you make the decision.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a question for the caller.
What's her name first?
Christiana. Yeah. Who am I speaking?
Christiana.
Hi, Christiana. It's Bob here in the beautiful Whitsunday Islands in Australia. And the question I would like to ask you is, what is your conscious life intention? Have you set one yet? And do you know what that means? That's three questions, isn't it? As an example for me, my conscious life intention is I am here to have a gentle, joyful, loving, healthy and abundant life. And that is so fundamental in my life, having that conscious life intention. And I keep saying it, keep repeating it. I am here to have a gentle, joyful, loving, healthy and abundant life. And that just keeps on repeating it. And that's precisely how my life is unfolding. So that's why I have no fear of the future. I don't know specifically what's going to happen, but I know that it will be in alignment with the conscious life intention that I, as creator, have set. So I would encourage you to ponder that and come up with your own conscious life intention, just beginning with, I am here to have, and then just add any elements that you want to have that will create your life experience. It's working for me.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Christiane, is this the Haven in Ohio?
St. Peter, Minnesota.
Okay. I was trying to look it up to just get a feel. How do you feel about the place?
Me?
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably a stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of energy I get from it. And that, like you guys said, that I should be aware of what I'm getting into, like as far as pay and the,
looks like a lovely it looks like a lovely outfit. Wow, good feeling too. I'm going to add the rest of the team good feelings about this. Wow.
Yeah.
I think
that they'll welcome her, that she will be a great asset. I'm just worried, you know, because you have your own apartment and everything, and, you know, just want to make sure that it won't stress you as far as pay is the only obstacle I see. But if you can make it work, and I'm not saying it's a bad one, sometimes you have to barter with them on pay. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can do, you know, a lot of us don't feel that we have the right to do that. You absolutely have the right to do that. So,
yeah.
If it's not what you want,
Good point, Tony. Something to think about, too. Ryan would chime in on that and say, you know, a fair energy exchange. And it's okay. It's our system. This is what we use to trade with. You know, it's perhaps not perfect, but you know, you deserve as many bananas as the next monkey, right? You know what I mean? So I'm not calling you a monkey either, Christiana. But you know the feeling I'm trying to say is, like, you know, you deserve it. And and I like what Tony's saying, you know. There's a lot of times, you know, the jobs that are such beautiful dream jobs in the arts or in the holistic services or anything like that, they very often, for some reason, go with very low pay. And I don't know. I'm starting to see people like who offer like massage service, and they're charging quite a bit, you know. And I know some mediums that we work with, they're putting their rates up because they're like, darn it, I'm worth it. I do the work. I'm going to be paid. So I guess we have to balance that, you know, and make sure we're not hoarding bananas. But if it's just a need, not greed, then let's change the world a little bit and include the artists and the dreamers and stuff as well. Yeah, they've got to pay their bills just as much as anyone. But yeah, keep us posted, Christiane. I'd love to hear how this goes for you and whether you have a new job, whether it's a stepping stone or whatever. Everything leads to something, doesn't it? It's a flow.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
You're so welcome.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you again. Okay. And moving on, we have 610. Hi, you're on the air. Can we get your name, please? Are you with us? All right. We're going to put that call on hold, and we'll move to our next caller.
Hello?
860. Hi, 860. You're on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hi, it's Amla. How are you?
Hi, Amla. Welcome to the show. How are you? Have you been listening to Bob?
It's been topsy-turvy, that's to say the least. But I'm glad Mercury in retrograde is over. So
yeah,
there's always a light. But I think it's just continuing with what's going on with me. But my question for today is, I'm actually interested in somebody. It's very interesting. I don't even understand. Like, he wants to be friends, but I don't know. I have a feeling it's something else, and I kind of am interested in him as well. I'm just wondering if I'm seeing things, no pun intended.
This is a guy, you mean?
Yeah.
This is a guy. Let's see. Anybody getting anything?
Okay. I'll just put it out here. I'm drawing. Do you guys know what an Inukshuk is?
No.
Okay. On very, very flat terrain, geographically, people will use stones piled up on one on another as markers. Okay. Like if you picture yourself out in the Arctic or something on the tundra, and it goes like prairie land, right? So they use these things. They're called Inukshuks, and they're for guide, like they're guideposts that people build out of stones to just mark their path and whatnot. Because there's no trees or, you know, landmarks you can use, so they use these piles of stone, and that is what I drew, one of those piled up. So, I don't know if it's you building it or he's building it, but it's like the signals have been built, like the signals are there, and follow that. Somebody's like guiding somebody, and you know. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know how to express what's coming in, so I'm going to pass it on and see if I can find words to not confuse you further, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead, yeah.
I can go. This is Linda.
Yeah, right.
Okay, sure.
This is Linda, just really quick. Stand back,
sure,
and take a look at the bigger picture is what I'm getting with this new friend. Because you
okay.
may not be seeing it clearly unless you take everything in and assess and discern what it is you're feeling, what the connection is, and where that might lead. Okay?
Yeah, that makes sense. I just, it is like me too. I am stepping back because it's like the signals are there, but I don't have the puzzle pieces quite yet. They're
okay.
just kind of scattered. And you know, that's the way you're building something. So
right.
even if it's just a friendship, I just feel like every time I'm not responding, like I just kind of forget about him. He chimes in and says, how am I doing? And so it's just like, huh, that's interesting. So anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Jess. I'll go after you.
Sure. Hi, Millie. I definitely got a positive on that, but I absolutely agree with what Linda said, is to just take a broader view of it. But I feel that it's kind of already been built into what it's going to be. And I think he is receptive. That's what I'm feeling. So, but like Linda said, take a broad view before you jump in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got Amala an onion. I drew an onion. So I'm assuming it's to peel the onion, the layers, you know, that there's, you just, it's kind of like the same thing they're saying, but you need to just keep peeling those layers. Or it's kind of like maybe what Lynn was talking about, these bricks that are building. Maybe you need to peel them or look under to see, you know. I don't feel anything bad I at all with this guy. I think he's really, you know, I don't have a crystal ball and I don't know him, but I'm feeling good vibes. Like, no, like I didn't lose my breath or anything. I felt happy. And then I drew the onion. So I'm just thinking that you just need to peel some layers and use your intuition, which is always good. You know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also just, you know, and see, wait and see what happens. But I'm a little confused of even, is he interested or not? Like, I,
oh,
even
I
just that
interested.
First little inkling. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're right. But I think he's interested. I think it's
okay.
Up to you. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So I got a strong yes on the interested part. I think you just have to look out for your well-being and just look a little deeper. Because sometimes when somebody's interested, and I know I've done this in the past, you just kind of jump in. You're like excited about it. But you've been there before. And especially, you know, you need to peel that onion and look, no pun intended, a little more. Investigate. Yeah, that's a good. That's
yeah.
Good.
And no,
that's
that fine. Makes complete sense. I jumped in way too many times as a fire sign, so I know to just literally just look both ways before crossing the street. That's how I see it, for sure. It's like one step at a time, but yeah, I just makes me a little nervous because it's always unexpected, and which this is, and also the fact that it's been a long time. It's been a really long time. So,
yeah. But it could be the one. Could be. Just have to investigate.
It could be. I don't know. I don't even think that, like, that even doesn't even cross my – that's how much I've changed in a great way. Though, although I would be asking you right away, is this the one? I don't even want to go – I'm just like, what is this? But then I go into that analytical mind. I'm just like, stop. Just whatever this is, it is. And I give him space.
Well,
I have space. It's like a little dance.
It could just be a great friend, too. Like you said, it could be friend. It could be the other. But the vibes that I'm getting, like the others, is that it's definitely compatibility of some type.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, Bob, now you're chomping at the bit. Bob's chomping at the bit. Let him go.
Sure.
What I've learned in my journey about relationships goes back to the old scenario where, you know, I'll go to a dance or something and then my eyes will be caught by a lovely lady across the dance floor, and there's this immediate sort of chemical reaction, like love at first sight. And what I've come to realize is that from my abusive childhood left holes in my soul. And what that feeling I'm getting is I'm looking at a person that can fill the holes in my soul, and she's looking back at me because I can fill the holes in her soul. But all that leads to is a codependent relationship. So I've learned to really steer it away from that, because the only time what my next relationship will be me presenting my whole soul to another person who's presenting their whole soul, and not looking for a hole filler.
Yes. Makes complete sense.
Yeah.
This is to be continued.
Oh, no,
all I can say.
Kidding,
This should be interesting. It's slow, but it's moving. It's like, you know, I think that definitely the, you know, the karmic, the new decisions that I've been making based on my past, the same things are happening. It's like the Groundhog's Day movie. You know, it's like you keep on, the karma is just exactly like that. You're going to keep on stepping into the hole until you make a different decision. And so that's what, like, the same types of people have been coming around, but I'm very crystal clear on what I want. And so to step away from the hole and to, you know, make different decisions wisely and with calm and with ease and, again, with looking both ways before crossing the street. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much. That's so helpful.
Wow, excellent. Okay, well, keep us posted, Amala, and we'll find out more of how the story goes.
Sounds great. Take good care. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay. Here we go. 515, right. 515, you're on
the
air.
That's me.
Hi.
Hi. It's Nikki, Trent's mom.
Oh, hi. Sorry.
Hi.
Yeah. How you doing, hon?
I'm doing okay. It was kind of funny. I turned on I called into the show, and I just got this strange feeling that I needed to call in today. And you guys were talking about, you know, suicide and stuff, and it's a huge thing in my family. We have a chemical imbalance in our family, and it started off when, you know, my dad was 5 when he started having suicidal thoughts, and I was 9. And, my daughter was 12, and we have to be on medicine, and some people have to be on medication. It's not a choice. I just want to say that because it's some people can live without medication, but some people have to. They can't survive without it, you know.
Yeah.
And no matter how much you look inwards or breathing or anything, you have to have it.
You know, Nikki, I've often thought about this because we talk about the dichotomy between, you know, traditional Western medicine, hospitals, doctors, tests, all that stuff. And then on the other side, there's people that feel if you drink your own urine, you're going to cure COVID. So, you know what I mean? There's a big span between all of those things. And, of course, you know, it's an inside job for each person. You must determine what works for you and also for your son. I just want to catch Bob up on your story just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Tell Bob what's going on. We know your story, but we'll just let Bob in on what's happening with your life and Trent.
My son, he is 13. And his brainstem started to fail shortly after birth, and they believe it's a genetic disease. Something went wrong with the DNA, and it was working just fine when he was born. And around almost the age of 1, it started to fail, and he had seizures, and they told us about 4 years old that he is going to pass away within around 10 years. So they gave us till he was about 14. They said give or take a few years, but it's very uncommon. They said there's only 3 people in the world that their brain stems just sort of spontaneous stop working. And I have been dealing with this with him ever since, and I've been doing everything I can to help him stay alive, but also struggle with the whole letting go thing and what would be best for him. And I struggle myself as well because I'm his primary caregiver. And it's been very, very difficult on me and him and our family. And I I know it sounds strange, but I seem to be able to telepathically speak to him at some points. You know, he tells me certain things, and well, there's quite a bit. I'm not sure what else. we have this special relationship.
Yeah. That's good.
Do you mind if I respond?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Go, Bob.
It's, just to validate where you're at, it's a really hard space. But just to let you know from the research that I've done, going back to 1984, and please don't shoot the messenger, this is just what I've discovered. And I've worked as a scientist, so, and a counsellor, and many other things, but this phrase that that psychiatrists use, it's a chemical imbalance in the brain, and you can search whatever you want, and there is no scientific data to support that claim.
Okay.
Now,
well, whether chemical imbalance is wrong or right, I'm just stating that what they told me, but I know that it is something genetic because it has gone back generation after generation.
Yeah. Can I finish?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, there will be, and I'm not a medical doctor, it just makes sense to me that if the brain's not functioning right, then if it's from a physical cause, like you've just shared, then that's understandable. That's understandable. But what you're saying about generational is, my childhood abuse was generational. You know, my mum, who was very violent, she was always beating me. But by healing the wounds of my childhood and hearing her story about how she was born in Germany between the wars, her dad was an alcoholic, her mum was a control freak, her cousins were in the SS, and they got and they were shot. But by sharing my story and getting mum's story back, I realised that yes, mum was doing her very, very best, but all she could do was dump on me what got dumped on her. So my response to your statement is, yes, it is multi-generational, but it's not genetic, it's not chemical, it's that wound of the soul, that childhood abuse. And by writing the letter to mum and her getting her letter back, I broke the multi-generational cycle of abuse. And so I can't speak for anybody else because we're all unique, but from the society that we live in, we support and we have created, It is almost set up to wound a child from the very beginning. So, and all I can say is, whatever works for you is okay with me. I simply expect the same respect in return. But if you can find
I'm not trying to disrespect you.
No, I didn't say you were. Didn't say you were. I'm just offering a maxim. If you can supply me with data that shows that, that for me, a definition of insanity is for a rational, clear-thinking human being to believe that by ingesting a chemical, a petrochemical, which is a toxin, by ingesting a toxin, that's going to be good for our well-being. Well, I rest my case. You know, it's like, what's another definition of insanity? Believing that governments have got your best interests at heart.
That's a whole other show, Bob. I want to turn to Linda on this, because Linda, I know you have sort of a microscopic and macroscopic view. From the work you do, anything you would like to,
So I would like to input, because you see, mankind has done things to itself that has changed our physiology, and now we're trying to repair what things have gone wrong. Is it a soul thing? Is it a physical, medical thing? Well, I tell you what, my husband Jim had numerous, numerous issues, and he passed, I think, at a young age of 67. But my feeling has always been that he has tried to live through this so that he understands it, so that perhaps in a future incarnation, he could find a way, a miracle cure, as it were, something we can do that will bring the body back into full health and alignment. And I think he had to experience what it was like to be in that situation in order to help in future generations. And Nikki, I feel that might be what's happening to your family, that you have a collection of souls that are experiencing the worst of it to get an understanding on a very visceral level so that in the future they can help repair, maybe even as guides from the other side, the hands of the doctors that will find the right thing that will align, the healers that will find the right thing to align. I hope that makes sense.
It does. My uncle was schizophrenic, so that makes a lot of sense. It all is happening to our brains. It's whether it's psychiatric or DNA based, I'm not really sure, but it seems to all be brain related. You know what I mean?
Yes. But yet the brain is very physical, too. It's not just what houses our preferences in our souls, but it's also what runs our body. So if we can repair that, there's an excellent chance, we can align ourselves with physical health and not need medications, not need to take supplements. You know, we can just be natural people like we were meant to be from the time we were created.
I agree. I completely agree. I'm just stating that, you know, it seems that it's not from, I just want to put this out there. This is not from abuse. This is not from anything that happened in our family. My dad was 5 years old before he even knew what was going on, and he remembers wanting to die because he was sad and he didn't know why. And I remember asking my counselors before, I'm like, I have a good life. I've never been abused. My parents are great. My dad's a counselor himself. Why do I want to die? Why am I so sad all the time? You know,
well, that's because something has gone wrong in our physical bodies over millennia, actually. Little by little, we've done things to ourselves that has caused these misalignments in our, actually, our energy fields, our chi,
mm-hmm.
often helped by Reiki, where we realign everything. But things have gone wrong, and that's been passed on from each body to body and soul to soul. That soul DNA that I've talked about in the past, that the ET just speak of, yeah, there's flaws there. We need to fix it.
Yeah. It makes sense. It does. I think in the short amount of time, though, that some people need to take medications in order to just function. You know what I mean? This...
True.
It might be a temporary fix, but some people absolutely need to take medication. You know, I know I do. I know that I tried without it several times, and my daughter's tried without it, and it's not a pretty picture.
Well, diabetic, for example. My friend Jane, who passed away in March, she was a type 1 diabetic. And I believe the reason she passed is because she was starting to have trouble getting doctors to prescribe the insulin. They wanted her to put in that pump thing, which she couldn't do. But, yeah, I understand. I do.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be disrespectful about the show. I hope you know that. I'm not. I'm trying to offer a different perspective because I don't want people to be like, well, like, they told me I shouldn't be taking medicine, so I'm just going to stop it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And because my daughter actually was told that by her friends. Why are you taking medication? You don't need that stuff. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she stopped taking it and never told any of us. And she ended up back mm-hmm. in the hospital because of a suicide attempt.
Yeah, well, I feel you're absolutely right. So there's some people like Bob who can... So I think there's difference. I think that's what Linda is saying, and I feel the same. There's people like me. I'm I don't take medication, but I have many people in my family that do take medication, and there's some that just can't get into their psyche or into the place that you need to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, my daughter has tried to commit suicide several times, and without medication, I don't think she would be here. So I'm totally an advocate of it, for sure. And it just, I think it's different strokes for different folks, right, Vicki? I think
yes,
right.
Yes. That's,
yeah. And you're not
different
being
disrespectful. For every person.
Right. You're not being disrespectful. That's what this show's about. We all have our opinions, and I think it's great. That's what makes the world go round. Absolutely.
So, yeah, we're sharing experience. Certainly don't take it as advice, Nikki, because your advice is going to come from your own intuition. You know, you're going towards your own star, you know. And please don't ever, ever apologize for speaking your truth. Okay, this is a safe place. It's a safe place to do it.
I just didn't want it to come off as being rude or disrespectful, because that's not my intention.
No, you were fine. You're a very loving person, and we can tell that just from the energy of working with you. I just wanted to, now, did we hear from Jessica? I don't know, or not.
Oh, I'm here. I was just listening and not trying to interrupt, but as we were having this discussion, I could see it from both ends of the spectrum. The thing with my son Jaden, he came in with everything under the moon you can imagine, Down syndrome, autism, trait, GT said, total care required, and you know, there were some medications he needed, and the lesson that Jaden, so this was all a lesson, and it wasn't like to be a bad lesson. You know, his life wasn't in vain. He came here to teach, actually. He said he came here for me and for all those around him, and I believe that that's huge, and I believe that, you know, that's true for our kiddos that are dependent on us. It teaches us how to be compassionate. I believe these kiddos have so much to teach us, just as Trent does. Oh. And I just thank you for calling in, Nikki. I just adore you, and I love Trent so much, and you guys. And I just wanted to be a voice and say it's so individual, but also, in my family too has mental illness and autism and things of that nature. And there's many in my family that do need to take medication just to keep them safe and others safe. So I just wanted to give a shout out to you, Nikki. Thank you for calling in. You guys are awesome.
I'd just like to honor your courage in sharing your truth. And the world needs more people like that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And two little phrases spring to mind, just from my own life experience. For me, the mind is always looking for answers, but the heart already knows. And the other one came from Eckhart Tolle, and this is, for me, it's the best thing he ever said, is totally let go of the need to understand anything. Now, I'm on,
that would be hard for me.
I know it's a challenge, but that's where I'm coming from, and that space is actually blissful. But I'm on a mission to eradicate suicide, and for me, I'll drop a bomb here, for me there is no such thing as mental illness. All these physical symptoms that manifest in the physical world come from the body, and it's, for me, it's the body's way, like my panic attack was my body's way of telling me to stop living my programming and find my own truth and stand in my own truth and live in my own truth.
I agree. Yeah. I just don't think all of us are at that point where we can get to that. You know what I mean?
I'll just give a couple of explanations on why I say that there is no such thing as mental illness, and how I, you know, I bet my life on my body is so much smarter than me. I'll take ADHD, you know, lack of attention in the classroom. When I was a little kid in school, I was sitting in my seat bobbing up and down and buzzing because I didn't want to be sitting still, you know, listening to all this old gobbledygook that was going on. I wanted to be out running through the forest, chasing down wild pigs or playing cowboys and Indians. So that's my ADHD was, you know, that's what it would have been called back then, was just my body wanted to do something physical. And so by honouring that state, by letting the kids go out and play, get them exhausted, then get back in the classroom, when they've met their body's physical needs, then you will have attention. And the other one that I'll pose an explanation to is PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. And
yeah, I definitely have that.
Yeah, well, this is my explanation for that. Within the inner knowing of every human being, there is a core of knowing what it means to be human, and that all life is sacred. So anybody that, you know, goes to another country and takes the life of another person that looks like you, two arms, two legs, head, you know, for me, that is the ultimate sin. But it's just a result of the person living their programming and not living what's in their heart. So once this sin has been committed, this huge wound of the soul, whether you carried out the act yourself or just witnessed to it, there is a physical price to pay which manifests in the symptoms of what psychiatrists call PTSD. Now, if you go back to 1880, at the beginning of this flowering, if you like, of psychiatry and psychology, back in those days, if you were an unwed mother, you were classed as insane. You were banged up for life in bedlam just for being an unwed mother. But also, if you were homosexual back then, you were banged up for life, no jury, no trial. And every year since then, this, and I call it, it's a sickness, this sickness of psychiatry, every year these people get together and they dream up more illnesses. And and even psychiatrists nowadays are coming out and saying, yeah, psychiatry is a scam. And I've yet to find any psychiatrist that has claimed to have cured anybody. So what have they been doing since 1880s? Practicing, yeah. So, so, you know, yeah. For me, people
I see where you're coming from. And yes, there was ridiculous things back then, but I also think that we've learned a few things since then, and I think that's also kind of the point of life. You know, would you learn, your soul learns, you go through these things to learn. Do you know what I mean? Am I getting my point across? Like, I think that we write in our soul contracts certain things that you're supposed to experience, whether good or bad, to experience it for your soul's learning.
Yeah, I totally agree. For me, every event that occurs in this life that I do create holds a lesson for me. I just have to be open to and learn from that lesson. And for me, thinking is the weapon of mass distraction, because while I was thinking, I was unable to feel. And it was only by shutting down my thinking and getting into my feelings, it was my feelings that did the healing.
Oh, God. Wow. I actually, for me, it's the opposite. I cannot go. It's the feeling that's my enemy. I feel way too much, and I need to shut it down sometimes because it's overwhelming.
Yeah. Hey, darling, you just nailed it. Like, when I had my first panic attack, I was overwhelmed by all these powerful feelings, you know. My arms and legs were thrashing around. It scared the shit out of my wife, and I wasn't too happy with it either. So went to the doctor, took some pills, and it should have been for 2 weeks, but not 20-odd years. But all those pills did was, like, numb down the feelings so I could function. But now looking back, I realize that the power of those feelings I was having was simply a measure of how truly powerful I am. And now I feel as if I'm made of unobtainium, titanium, because I embrace the power of my feelings. Yeah. Wow. That's what works for me.
What's that stuff that the Wolverine...
That's amazing.
Adamantium. They're made out of adamantium. That's the Wolverine's claws. From Marvel Comics.
No. I said I was made of unobtainium.
Oh, unobtainium. Oh, even better. Thank you, Bob. That's fabulous. Listen, guys, I don't mean to cut you short. We could have a whole show with just the two of you on. But, Nikki,
sorry.
Keep calling in, okay, hon? Please research anticipatory grief, okay? It's a whole other thing from regular grief. There is such a thing, okay? So, the more you learn, you know, you can help yourself. I'm going to let you go, love, because I want to get one more caller on before we end. Hi, May. What a concept. Okay. We love you.
Thank
Nikki.
You.
Keep calling in. Okay. And here we go. I think we have Sonia.
Hello?
Is that Sonia? Oh, hi. Is that Sonia? Hi.
Hi.
Sorry.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, we won't be able to get to all the callers today, but please, you know, try next week again. So how can we help you, Sonia?
Thank you again for squeezing me in. I've had a very rough Friday, since Friday evening until now. I wanted to ask a question about relationship. Well, you can call it that. I came to find out that my partner of 8 years has been very recently, and I started seeing someone else. So she basically cheated on me. And I guess she wasn't planning on me finding out, but I did by, you know, little things you've done. You show up so late. And I'm not dumb, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, her thing was like she still wanted to continue seeing that person. And so be here with me in the house and the pets. And then like, oh, well, maybe in 2 months, you know, I'll just give me time. I'll decide. And then at first I was like, I didn't know what to think, but I was, like I said, really, really rough on me. And then after speaking with some friends and one good friend, actually, so I told her that, you know, she needs to leave by next Friday. Because she's going again over by next Saturday evening to go see that woman. Apparently, she's going to be regularly seeing her. And she said, originally when she told me all this, oh, well, I like her, I won't stop seeing her. So I said, I told her that you need to move out by next Saturday. You can come get your stuff later. The cats can stay here. We can deal with that later. I'm not going to the baseball game with you on Sunday, okay? She doesn't have a car. She'll have to get one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll live with friends, whatever the case may be. So I was waiting for her to tell me anything. Like I said, we've had a lot of conversation. We had a recent one, actually, and she just came to tell me, how can things change that in 5 days get like that? She said, I know it's all my doing. And I just looked at her, my eyes were all watery. Well, it's your doing. This is how things can change, because she still wanted to be in this roof and see that person, because she told me she does not want to give, she doesn't want to lose all this, lose the life we have, the animals, the dynamics, but she also doesn't want to, you know what I mean? So yep. I need to know what you guys are picking up for me. Is she going to come to her senses and give up this person? Look, and I'm, you know, maybe we're going to work this out, or is she going to choose that person and maybe might have to end up living in a car or who knows what?
Okay, well, Tony. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Whoever is that, Bob? Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. Well, for me, the answer is simple, and well, good on you for spotting it, darling. For me, trust is broken in an instant.
Okay.
Hey. So
okay.
Well spotted. Good on
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm. I also got the same as Bob. You're the wise one. It's not going to change. You spotted it. Trust, once it's broken, is very, very hard to repair, if it ever is repaired. So, yeah. That was her choice, and you need to be the wise one and continue in what you're doing. Otherwise, you're not going to be happy. I mean, you're going to continue to wonder every day if something else is going to go on. You know what I mean? She made the bed,
yeah,
so she's going to lie in it. I don't know how else to say it nicely, but... your intuition, which we all have, and I know that you know what you're supposed to do, and you did it, and you have to just stay strong. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to hurt, you know. Easy
it's
things are...
It's already hurting. My whole body's
yeah.
messed up, and I just told her that. I said, you know how my body, forget about how I look physically, but you know how messed up I am in there. I'm drinking water all the time. I really don't want to eat. I'm shaking inside. I'm always tired. I'm trying to keep myself busy. She's like, well, I'm feeling horrible too. And I'm like, who's doing this? I said, you know, it's going to have to be either her or me. And it looks like you want to lose all this and choose her, somebody you barely met, but that's fine. I just thought I could come one last time. But it looks like you made up your mind, and she won't talk to me, but she's like in shock, you know, that... Now all this is happening, and she's scrambling to find somewhere to live and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think now the shit hits the fan for her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it's a simple observation, but the clean cut heals the quickest.
Oh, folk wisdom, and it works. It's true. Oh, my goodness. Linda, what were you going to say, huh?
I was just going to say, having been through two divorces that were the same situation, basically, I stood in my inherent integrity. I cut them off access to me. I knew that someday I may be friends with them again, but the healing would have to take place, and I wasn't ready to forgive. And I certainly would never be able ready to forget. So there's always going to be that change in the relationship, but that's a good thing, because sometimes people are together for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. This looks like it was a reason or a season. So go ahead and move forward. Discover yourself. Find new things that you can do for yourself. And know that you're strong in your own inherent integrity. And let them be on their way.
Okay. I mean, I know what I have to do, but do you... see her having a change of heart, or she pretty much set in stone with continuing
to this
person?
She will have a change of heart. She will have a change of heart, but that's not up to you to deal with. If they do it once, they're going to do it again. You don't
need and I can't have that.
That's
I cannot have
fine.
That. Yeah, I thought you will have to cut her off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what I need to do. Oh, yeah. Sonia, that's what I got too. This is Jessica. I've been through it.
Okay.
The same thing, two marriages, and the best thing to do is to walk away. It's hard to repair something that was not in your doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I mean, we were about to get married, and for whatever reason, when she first proposed, I had the ring. We kept talking about it, but it was always something I never could make up my mind. I guess maybe now I know why, right?
Yeah, you were shown.
Your
guides are going to help you through. Your guides, and I think, is your grandmother deceased? Is your grandmother around?
Yes.
She's deceased,
she's right?
Yeah, she's the one that, she's there with you. I really think that she's the one that's going to help you through this, and that showed you the way, and that's the reason why you couldn't commit.
Yeah.
You have
you
a family member.
Right. Yeah. Do you think my partner, later on, she might regret all this and wish things to be different? But it'd be too late then.
Too late. You have something else in store for you that's much better and greater. And your family member, the one that's deceased, is going to help you to see that. So she's going to help you with the pain, and she's there with you like every night. I feel she's got her arms around you. So.
Yeah, I'm very, very tired. I'm very drained. I'm hungry, but in the same token, it's like I can't eat. So I don't understand that, you know. It's a pain and feeling.
It's grief, Sonia.
Yeah.
Well, you're experiencing grief. Mm-hmm. So, and it will pass. Right now, the pain is not a choice you made that you're going through. But the thing is, extending the pain is a choice that you have.
Yeah.
And don't extend the pain. You're being asked to acquiesce in your own exploitation by letting them have both, you know, of course they'd like to have it both ways, right? But then you're being exploited, and that sucks. And I wrote down visceral reaction. Your body's just reacting to, it's a grief reaction, pass. And self-care is the key right now. Self-care. And let your ancestors who are gathering around you, let them help. Give them permission to help you, and you'll be amazed at the spiritual energy that'll come through for you.
Thank you for that. I think somebody had mentioned, not that I care, but I'm trying to listen to all of you guys, and you guys are wonderful. Somebody mentioned there, I forgot who said it, that there is something greater for me in store. Did they mean another person later on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Things break apart in order to rebuild better and in your best interest.
If you don't mind me asking, not that I'm looking to get into, but I was just curious, to know if you have a time frame for that.
I don't have a time frame. I know. I'm sorry. Maybe in a couple of weeks we might get closer, but I just feel there's a reason for all of this, and there's something greater for you. You're going to go through some trouble right now with this because, you know, she's going to come get her stuff and stuff like that. So the time frame could be a while.
I don't mind waiting. I just don't want to have to wait 5 years, you know, to find someone else.
No, I'm not saying 5 years. No.
Yeah.
At some point,
your grandmother is going to make it.
I hope it's somebody better. Not a cheater.
Yeah. Is your grandmother Spanish or Italian or?
She's Indian. I'm Indian.
Indian, yeah. So she's not going to let that happen. You're not going to be alone.
Yeah.
She's rooting for you 100%. So.
Sorry, guys, I've got to cut this short. We're
all right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We usually go around and talk about credentials, but if you go to the show link, hit. Bob Eden, and it's a link, and it will take you to all of his everything, to all his and everybody else. I'm not going to get. Oh, I was going to put some of Linda's music on, but we'll do that next week. Yeah, we don't have time. But Bob, you're fabulous. I think we need to have you on again sometime. So we'll arrange to have you if you're willing. You're quite a wonderful personality, and you're just a delight. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your time and attention, for that's all that we have in the final analysis. And I would love to come back.
We'll make that happen, Bob. Bless you. You're just lovely. Thank you so much. We have 16 seconds left. No time for music, but I've got six of Linda's pieces that we'll play next week. And love and light to you all. Thank you for all the callers that called in. Wow. Show the love.
All you need is love. Yeah.